an AppleViz original.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And welcome to another AppleViz Unleashed for March 2024. My name is Thomas Donville, also known as Anonymous, coming to you for another grand month. And I am here just with Mike Malarcy. How you doing, Mikey?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. And how are you?
You know, right now, spring is rolling around the corner. Big changes in my life. I honestly struggle to find a way. Things could be better right now.
Yeah.
It's very good. Yeah. Vacations rolling around the corner. All kinds of stuff about to be happening around here.
Right? Oh, that is so wonderful. I'm glad things are going your way and you're having some positive things going on in your life. That's always encouraging to hear. And as I am the same boat, it is just, I'm just happy as can be today. Everything seems to be good for today.
And new toys always help.
Right. I got a couple new toys this month, everybody, and I know a lot of you out there are probably not into the audio podcast all that much, just other than to listen to it. I got a new interface, so for us to make this happen, so I have to have what we call an interface that allows me to connect the microphone to it and then connect it to the computer, and I got a Vocaster 2, and I am thrilled to death. Anybody that ever wants to do podcasts, wants to know what I'm using, what kind of stuff. I get that question a lot. What do you, yeah, what do you have? What are you using? I can tell you right now, Vocaster 2, TWO, make sure you get that version, not the one version, the two. It is amazing. I've heard many people talk about it. I see what the rave is about. Completely accessible, Mr. Malarcy. I mean, completely accessible.
It's on my shopping list already now.
Oh, I'm just blown away how accessible this is. And Ferrite is the name of the company that makes this. It's very well known. My daughter is a musician. She uses a Ferrite product called Scarlett. And I've used her Scarlett. But this is designed for podcasters, and I can see why. So no doubt about it. And I also finally got my Zoom H1 Essential. It is beautiful.
Yeah, you're liking it?
You know, if you have a need for a recorder, it is amazing for what it does. It does everything. I'm working on a podcast on it, meaning that I'm going to show you how to hook this up to your iPhone, use it as a microphone, or even on your computer. Yeah, you can use it as a microphone. You can use it as a digital recorder. I can put external mics on it. Yeah, I just totally geeked out.
That's awesome.
So we have many things that came along this month.
Yeah. I feel like it's been a while, though. Every time I open up the news app on my phone, I'm like, oh, hold on. What is this new thing now? Where we start? That was the number one question for me. I'm leaving that one on you. You're steering this ship. There's a lot of things going on out there.
There is. And so
where we tackle.
Let's do it, man. So first up, I want to let you know, John is not able to join us this month. He is busy filing for his income taxes. Ugh. Poor guy.
I hate it.
Right? I hate that too. And it's coming up real soon. And I wanted to reach out. There have been several people that reached out to us by email. And one of those people made a mention about us last month about John's OtterBox case not working anymore for himself. Well, he made a point to let me know and to tell John and everybody on the show is that OtterBox comes with a lifetime warranty. I was like, oh,
does it?
Yeah. So apparently I told John, I said, contact OtterBox and they should be able to replace it for free for you. So if you're an OtterBox user, that is something you need to keep in mind. If something ever breaks, you'll get that. And then we got a correction, and thank you so much. This came through via Mastodon to correct us that the Cellus glasses that we mentioned last month is not tethered. It is completely wire-free. So that is great to know.
Yeah, that to me was, that's an important one, to tethered and untethered.
Right.
Potential deal breaker for a lot of things. So
right. And I get that. And then, yeah, if it was Wired, I think a lot of us would be turned down by that. But knowing that is not anymore, you know, there's just many advantages and disadvantages. But nonetheless, thank you. All the people emailed us, keep them coming. Well, you can email us to unleash@applevis.com. If you have any questions, thoughts, feedback, anything, shoot it our way, and we might introduce you to it when it comes to each month process of going through the email. Let's go ahead and dive into all these billion gazillion news. First thing up is AppleVis. We are starting to widen up and what type of forum posting we will now start to allow. And those are new areas that you can come and ask questions without having to worry about it not being Apple-related topic. So we decided this was time. In 14 years that coming up this year, AppleVis has been around. We decided that it is time for people to be able to discuss other things because we have come to being multi-gadget in our life. So like myself and Mike, we still use Windows. We still use the A-Lady. There's just different devices that we use. And it was hard to find a place for people to come to talk about it. And they couldn't discuss it on AppleVis because it was supposed to be Apple-related only. Well, now this is being opened up, so you are free to stay there as a one-stop shop to ask questions. Now, I have a lot of people ask, oh my gosh, are you no longer going to be AppleVis? No, don't worry about that. We will always be AppleVis. We will always be having Apple-related stuff, blogs, guides, and podcasts will always be there and related to Apple. We're not going anywhere. We're just introducing a new place for people to come and talk. And so we opened up assistive technology hardware section, Windows. I know people are going to go bonkers on this. Android, yes, you can come and talk about Android all you want now. And then lastly, smart home technology. It is a pilot that we're testing for 3 months to see how things go and see if people do like it or not. It's not a permanent thing at this moment, but it might be permanent and we might end up liking it so much that we'll just leave it be and we'll go from there. So, wow. That was kind of big news this month for us, Mike.
I'm really excited about it because it's not uncommon to even like in the comments see people talking about these sorts of topics, but there's not really a place to foster those sort of conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And just like you said, there's plenty of folks that use a variety of different devices, but they have either a Mac or an iPhone. Like there's just enough crossover that brings people to this website. But there's still interest that lay outside of those walls. And I'm 100% on board with this. I think it's wonderful.
Well, thank you, Mike. And we really appreciate that. And we had a lot of good feedbacks. They love the new introduction that we've done. There's some that are feared that we might get muddled up and kind of blur what AppleVis is, and I get their scaredness. I do, but I promise that's not going to be the case. It's just that there's really not a ideal location for window users to come other than email list, social media, which is just fragmented. And so we just felt like that was the whole point when AppleVis came about.
Yes, exactly. I like having a one stop. I mean, that's why, at least in my opinion, why AppleVis was so successful, because it just made it easy. You don't have to hunt through stuff. You don't have to deal with 1,000 emails a day. Like, it's just, it's effective, and the function of it is great. And I personally, absolutely no issue with expanding.
Yeah. Well, I would love to hear what you guys think. If you guys love it, don't like it, and why you don't like it, or whatever not, email us. And you ready for this, Mike? Here comes the day. It finally was announced. Apple just announced this just yesterday, I believe, that WWDC is coming. It is going to be, let's see, June 10th is the big day. So circle the day. That's the day that's going to mark that we're going to have our keynote, and we will find out everything you ever want to know about iOS 18 and the new Mac OS and whatever not. But there is going to be a lot of things that we're going to discuss here that's going to reflect on what's coming up in iOS 18.
Yeah, I'm a little bit more excited about this one than in years previous.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting because it's always been Apple that, like, oh, we're going to introduce something new and we won't know. And we just got to wait. But I think this is the first year that something has dictated Apple to take initiation. So it's their turn to tell Apple what we want. And I love that. And I think you're right. I think it's going to be huge. One of the announcement for iOS 18 I want to kind of talk about, and I was shocked. I was just totally surprised that we heard some accessibility news you can expect in iOS 18. I was like, is it May? Because May, that's when they typically drop,
yes.
Right? I was like, oh my gosh, this is odd. Now, given this was from a reliable source, it makes me wonder what else is coming down the pipe. But it's nothing for voiceover users. I don't know if it's specifically for blind or visually impaired, but it's definitely in the disability realms of things when it comes to accessibility. So they have something called Adaptive Voice Shortcut, meaning that they will be able to use a voice and as a shortcut, so they can assign something to that word or voice to say, turn on voiceover, zoom in, or whatever not, and it's all going to be done by voice. Yeah, I realize you can use Siri to initiate those things, but this is for people that are going to be able to use their voice that are unable to use the buttons and such. So I thought that was pretty cool. I think that is very welcome.
I agree. And I think, and maybe I'm reading it wrong, but it seems like there's going to be some ways to customize this, right? Because for me, and this is just after watching a lot of nerdy TV shows where they're always saying enhance and the camera zooms in. Like if the magnifier and zoom actually benefited me, I would love to set up a shortcut where I could be looking at something and just say enhance and just have it zoom in on it. I just feel like that'd be fun. Just to kind of make fun of those TV shows. But then I just like being able to customize things. So I'm actually genuinely curious to see when this comes out, if there's a way to make it useful.
Right.
So I feel like a lot of the new stuff, at least the last few updates, I'm like, that's neat, but it doesn't really affect me a ton. This one, I'm actually kind of hoping it will.
I mean, no doubt. Can you imagine? I could see a situation where you could just use your voice and command the camera. And you just want to do hands off or hands on,
yep.
And to do something, that would be cool. I really didn't thought about that, but as you put that in statement, that's interesting.
That'd be fun, even for right. Nothing else. At least for me, I mean, I just like find it goofy ways to entertain myself. And if I could just set up a bunch of custom things to make my phone do weird stuff that nobody knows how I'm doing it or what's going on, like I just enjoy that. So,
right. For those that use live listening, we'll now have categories. So you'll be able to assign categories to different types of commands and issues you use with your live voice. So that is something to think about that's coming. The other one is kind of interesting that they are talking about fonts being able to be changed across different apps. Now, that's been around for years, but apparently on the Mac, it's only limited. So there's only certain actual Apple iOS app that abides by this dynamic text sizing. I was like, seriously? There was only like 5. And I was like, my gosh. And so I guess they're expanding that to 5 additional apps. And then the menu bar is a possibility that one might support the dynamic sizing of text. So that is definitely for our low vision folks on the Mac itself.
And surprising that that wasn't done already.
Right?
When I read like, that, I figured, I just assumed that if that was a feature that Apple had, it would just be there for kind of everything. But it does seem like an amendment to an idea that happened before. And like, well, we should probably implement this in a more broad spectrum, because if it's helping people, we should do it more than just these 5 places.
Right. I was like you, Mike. I was like, this isn't done already.
Yeah.
I was, what? I guess it was limited. And so, boy, I'm kind of disappointed that wasn't a thing. I mean, obviously, I'm excited they're expanding it, but I'm just puzzled.
Me too.
But nonetheless, apparently there's more to be announced coming up. So I'm guessing in May, we'll see what else they have up their sleeves for iOS 18 in terms of accessibility. Now, diving into iOS 18, this is really kind of interesting that Apple kind of basically said that we are bringing AI to the phone, but we're not quite ready for our own version of GPT or anything like that. So we are going to probably expand partnership and bringing AI to the phone. And that means talking to Google and including Gemini, or formerly known as Bard AI, into iOS. And there's even talk of OpenAI being on board on your iOS 18. Whoa.
This is the part that I'm, I think, the most excited about. And genuinely happy, because we know that Apple's late to the game. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that they were buying up tons of servers to start working on this way, like, well after other companies were. And it was actually, I was kind of relieved to see that this was the route that they take. Instead of making us, the users, have a lackluster experience, I'm kind of all for this. I think for us, at the end of the day, we're all going to benefit.
Yeah, Mike, you think about it. This must be kind of a tough move that they had to say to themselves, we just got in it too late. There's no way we can come up with something as good as these other things in the time frame that we had. And yeah. I mentioned it before, and I'll say it again, they were caught with their pants down, no doubt. And this is proof of that, is because we thought for sure Apple would have its own AI. And I'm not discounting that it won't. It sounds like they might, but it's not official. It just seems like they just kind of threw up their white flag and says, okay, we tried, but for now we want to have something. So it makes me wonder, you know, how Google pays them billions just to be able to use them as a search engine, right? I wonder if we're going to try to make them use for billions to be able to use their Gemini.
I'm curious, actually, how that all plays, because on one hand, I mean, that would make sense. But at the same time, I guess there's enough competition out there. Google might actually be able to have a bit of negotiating power. So, like, hey, Apple, we know you guys aren't up to snuff, and you know it. Everybody knows it. So if you want this, let's have a conversation about what this new check is going to look like.
Right. Let's do a compromise.
Yeah.
Let's...
I'm intrigued how it's all going to play out.
We want to be this default search engine for... in place of, you can have our Gemini. We'll just replace the 10 billion.
How's Google? I might throw that out there. I mean, there's lawyers that are way smarter than I am that I'm sure having lots of conversations about it, but.
Right. It'll be interesting what they do with it. Like, you know, my understanding, there might be multiple AI options you can choose from. And I was like, this is interesting.
I wonder if there's going to be a new subscription.
Hello,
Siri Plus.
That's like the AI dang it, version. Mike! You had to, you know.
I hope I'm wrong. And just you so know, all Mike, of you listening, I've never seen an article or anything about that, but
I haven't either. But I will tell you that on my side of my mind, as we were talking about this, those are subscription based. If you want to use the pro version, and it makes me wonder. Will we have an Apple subscription base if you want to use the pro version of these? Makes you wonder.
Series? You can have the regular Siri that we all have now, or you can have the new Siri for $10 a month or whatever.
You can have this dumb Siri, or you can have this intelligent Siri for yours for $9.95 a month.
I hope not. I really hope that's not what happens.
You know... this is early days. We won't know what they're using, what's going to be what's going to be in where or anything. Is it subscription based or not? But Mike, I think you hit it on the head. Do not be surprised if there is a subscription for this type of service. I know.
Only time will tell. As soon as I said it, I feel I shouldn't have said it. I don't want to put it out there.
I can promise you this, that the iPhone 16 Pro, and it's only going to be on the Pro version, folks, I bet there's going to be some exclusive AI just for the Pro only and only for that device. Mm-hmm. I'm going to bet you.
And probably that'll come along with, because of this hardware, it's only this model. Sorry, everybody else.
You know, that's the thing. I've been reading these articles that they're working on a new chip, and they've already started producing these chips that utilize the AI. So there's some new function in the chip that takes advantage of the AI. And I was like,
Yep.
Damn. I just got my iPhone 15 Pro.
I know. It just never ends.
Oh, see, Tom is already... who do I send the check to?
Yeah. Hey, to their credit, assuming it all actually pans out this way, this has been the first time in probably 5 years that I'm actually feeling mildly tempted to upgrade again.
Wow, I'm starting to rub off on you. No, you're right. This is way bigger than buttons or upgrading hardware. AI, folks.
Yep, the AI is what's got my attention.
Other iOS 18 news that I've just read here and just came across is that it sounds like there are going to be some additional home screen customization. Now, I could be wrong, folks. I would love to hear from you. I'm going to hear from Mike. So let me give you kind of an idea what they're talking about, this new customization home screen. So it's giving you more freedom where to place the app that you want on the screen. So right now we have a grid, columns and rows, and that's how the icons are arranged. Apparently you're going to be able to move these things around, have spaces between these two apps, have a row that's a blank and columns that's got a blank. It's still going to be grid style, my understanding, but you'll be able to place things in where you want. I can tell you right now, for us that are blind, I can't see any reason for us to do that other than maybe if you're a touch kind of a person that touch around and you want specific app to be right there when you touch each and every time, I guess you could be allocated maybe 5 or 6 apps and you know where those are each and every time without having to swipe left and right each time. I'm not thrilled by it, but I understand visually how this could be appealing, and I can think our low vision folks would like this, to have it kind of separated without having to squint or real hard to see things. I don't know. What do you think, Mike?
This one to me, well, first of all, I feel like this is going to end up with anybody with eyes that looks at my phone is going to be like, what is happening? There's just random blank spots all over your pages where, because I'm probably not going to notice that there's a little blank spot.
No.
One that's mostly full, but I could also potentially see myself, because the apps that I use the most are generally at the bottom. This is going to probably confuse people. My home screen has the majority of my apps on it. And the ones I use the least are up toward the top. The ones I use the most are usually toward the bottom and more toward the right, because I usually hold my phone in my right hand. I wanted to just be able to snatch them with my thumb real fast. I actually could picture myself just putting most of my apps to the bottom right corner and leaving the rest of the real estate empty there. I might use that. I don't know. I'm curious in function how it all actually is going to happen, because anytime I'm setting up a new phone, I spend an hour usually arranging everything just so, because I want this app on that side and this one over there. Like, it's very obsessive how I manage my screen real estate, and this might actually just make it a little bit easier, because now I don't have to worry about, well, I just need a couple of random apps to fill up the middle area to push these ones toward the edges of my screen where I want them.
I don't think you're excessive. I think we could all relate to that. Now, we all have our form of OCD where things are supposed to be located. Mine is that everything on the home screen, just like you, everything I use is on the home screen. It's very rare I have to go to my second page for secondary. But that first page...
I hate folders. I'm not a fan of folders.
Well, yeah, I agree with you on that one. Now, I have to do that sometimes. I do have an entertainment folder that has all my, like, Netflix, Amazon, Disney, Apple. Yeah. That have to live in there. And it's not something I do all the time, so that's what I got to put in a folder. Anything you use every day, mail, messages, Be My Eyes, Lyric, my Libby, Bard, and those kind of things are there. It's funny how we have our own way of arranging things. But back to the point, you're right, is that I don't know if it's going to make all that difference to us. Yeah, it'll be kind of weird. I'm not sure if it'd be annoying that we will put our finger on the screen, we find the app, and then we just kind of go left and go. I don't know if I would like hearing or feeling that noise as you go across and find the other app, but I could see this being useful for some.
Yeah, it's another one of those things that I'm kind of intrigued, but curious to see if when it actually comes out, if it actually becomes a thing that I use.
Right.
On a regular basis.
Yeah, so that is something to come. Another thing that's coming and people have been talking about is the Apple Watch. The 10th series is coming out this year. And rumor has it, it has blood pressure monitoring. Now, at first, I thought, oh, wow, this is kind of big. Not that I have any blood pressure issues or anything like that, thankfully. But I can see a lot of people would relate and probably be kind of perk their interest. And then I start reading a little bit. It's kind of misleading. It's going to be limited, my friend. So very similar to the body temperature that came out last year. It's like, it doesn't tell you what your temperature is. It just says that it's been your temperature has been increasing. So it's going to be kind of that indicator, and it's going to notice that your blood pressure is increasing. It might say it's reaching to a range that you might want to check on a regular basis of your blood pressure, however you measure it. I was disappointed to hear that. I just feel like Apple's going to tell, yes, it has blood pressure monitoring, and it really isn't. I can just see him doing that.
Yeah, it's more of a blood pressure indicator. And I can't help but wonder if this is just sort of part of the plan to avoid having to go through the FDA approval process.
Yeah, it makes you wonder
as far as
because
medical device goes. I don't know how the FDA draws those lines, but I've heard that it's getting something through the FDA can be a lengthy and difficult process. And maybe if they just put an up or a down arrow or a check mark if you're good, maybe that's a way to avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I think you're right. FDA is a kind of a branch off the government here. It's the Federal Drugs Administration that I'll make sure that the things that they do sell out there does what it says. And I think there may be some issue with it, with them being exact as to be able to be approved for FDA for blood pressure monitoring. I bet it has to be 100% accurate, and I don't think this is 100% accurate, and that's why they couldn't do it. But nonetheless, it is finally we actually got a new sensor, but that might be useful for some out there. So I still have my fourth generation, folks, the fourth series. I'm still happy with it. And we'll see if they drop the Watch OS. This will be the big year to see if I actually upgrade or not. I'm just still not convinced. I'm happy what I have. And there's nothing in the new version that I just must have. Isn't that weird? I have the opposite feeling about Watch than I do the iPhone.
Yeah, I very much so. I mean, well, to be fair, I haven't had a Watch since version 3. I actually just found it in a drawer the other day. I didn't know I still had it. But I didn't, and I haven't had a need, haven't had a purpose for it. Not yet, but we'll see.
Well,
but as far as this blood pressure stuff goes, I feel like in general, for those that are able to get the newer stuff, there's nothing wrong with a better picture of your own health, especially if you don't have to do anything extra, if it's just kind of there just to help you have a better handle on what might be going on.
Right. And it just makes you kind of feel at peace. If something is kind of off, something wrong, you at least get an idea where you need to go and get some help or whatever. Question is, will the blood the oxygen, blood oxygen sensor will be there. I wonder if they will change some software to allow that to come back, or if that will still be missing. We shall see. Some other new hardware that's going to be coming out this fall, sounds like positive news, is that there are going to be two new AirPod models coming out. So we're talking about the entry level. So I'm sorry, folks, this is not the AirPods Pros. This is the entry level. And now you're probably confused like I was. I said, two models, really? I had to read this twice. I didn't realize right now there's a second generation, and then there's a new generation called the third generation, and they still sell both of those. And so it's going to be a similar situation where they're going to have the third generation and then the brand new fourth generation that comes out. Now, what gets confusing and kind of muddled, and I couldn't get a direct answer from any of the articles, is that they're saying this new AirPod fourth generation will have active noise cancellation with the case. I'm thinking, this is interesting. How different will this be from the Pro when it comes to that active noise cancellation? That's kind of a big deal, what I thought was between the two models now.
Yeah, that was, in my memory, kind of what the big selling point was, this active noise cancellation. I'm curious. I don't know. Because at this point, that's a $100 difference between the two, or?
Yes.
I guess depending on where you're looking. But for what now?
I guess the Pro will still have the newest technology, the probably a much better active noise cancellation.
Yeah,
there's probably just a certain better standard.
Yeah, quality in general, I'm sure will.
Right. So I think that's with the two, but nonetheless, for being $100 difference, if you just don't have the cash, but you want something Apple AirPods, I think this would be a good fit for those that want to find it, for the budget conscious people to have active noise cancellation. What's interesting is that this is going to be outfitted with USB-C. Obviously, everything they have to put out will have to have USB-C. But there will be no AirPod Max out this year. It's going to be refitted with USB-C, so they're going to kind of relaunch the old AirPod Max. I wish they would introduce even more new technology, but it doesn't sound like that's going to be the case, other than just giving a USB-C, and hey, it's brand new.
Yeah.
Never said it before, USB-C.
Unfortunate. I wish it's unfortunate they don't have like a, hey, bring in your old ones, we'll swap them so you can have the new port, and it's only $50, $100. They should have an exchange program.
That would be ideal. I would love that. I'm sure that, you know, I don't know if they do or don't. I mean, they kind of sort of do that with the iPhone. They have exchange program. They said, we'll just give you X number of dollars for that device.
Yeah, I don't know if that, I've never heard of that applying to headphones before.
No, but that is
be
true.
Nice.
But yeah, I don't know how to feel about that. But there is another iOS 18 feature when it comes to AirPod, and that is the AirPod Pro. And they're talking about that there are rumors of it coming out with something called the hearing aid mold for the Pro models only. It doesn't mean they're going to come out with a new AirPod Pro, but whatever the latest version of the AirPod Pro is going to support this hearing aid mode. Now, I have some thoughts on this. I think it is a great idea. I understand the direction they're going with this, but obviously, this is going to definitely be for more mild, maybe medium, moderate hearing loss. Definitely not for moderate and heavy loss like myself. But it does do things better to the ear, and I can hear the difference. But the only thing I don't understand about them touting the hearing aid mode is that the battery life, these are not an all-day hearing aid that you can wear.
Yeah, not at all.
So,
I'm trying to think of cases that this would be helpful. And like, kind of like you were saying, so for those that don't know, when I got myself blown up, my left eardrum was perforated. They had to do like reconstructive surgery, and it's like 85% maybe. I could imagine maybe using something like this, maybe sitting in a noisy restaurant or like an environment where there's ambient sound, that I could potentially use this to focus on who it is that I'm actually trying to listen to in a loud environment. Mm-hmm. But as far as people that need it and rely on it every day, I feel like this is like kind of a Fisher Price comparison. This is not, this isn't for serious like use cases. This is like a fun thing for people that kind of might need it. But no, like if that's a device that you rely on, I don't think this is going to be it.
Mm, I love the Fisher Price edition.
Yeah. It's fun for, yeah, for people like me that don't really need it, or it's like, oh, this is kind of neat. This has a very specific use case, but.
Okay. So you have a hearing loss in one ear. Mm-hmm. And do you wear anything now for that to correct it?
I don't. No, because like it's, for the most part, it's fine. And usually I only really notice it if I either have both of my headphones in, mm-hmm. the audio is always off balance just a little bit, or if the environment that I'm in is kind of noisy, like a restaurant or a place like that, then I can, I'll catch myself like leaning over the table like, wait, what'd they say? Like asking the people next to me.
Mm-hmm.
So normal situations, it's barely noticeable.
Well, we all have troubles in bars and noisy places, whether you have hearing loss or not. But I, you know, it makes me wonder if you could just stick your AirPod Pro in there and adjust it and try to even it out equal ears. I wonder if that makes any difference for you.
That's one of those things. I don't often have both of my headphones in, but when I do, I'm like, oh, I really need to come and do that. I need to boost this left one a little bit. And then I usually end up forgetting.
Right. Well, that's interesting. And nonetheless, new AirPods are on its way, folks. And now to the real hardcore stuff here that we come to this introduction of this AppleVis Unleash, is that the Department of Justice has finally revealed they are going to file
Trust. I believe.
There you go. Antitrust suit against Apple. Oh, my goodness, Mike. All right. Look, I've taken a lot of painstaking moments to read lots of different articles, try to get different views,
yes.
Try not to be an Apple fanboy, drinking my Apple Kool-Aid before I make any radical statement that I know I'm going to be making on this podcast. But I will try to do my best here. Let's dissect this. Let's talk about messages first. I'm going to get your view first. So they think that Apple monopolized on the green and the blue bubbles. Can you believe it? They even talked about it. It says, we got the green and blue bubbles. I was like, hey, I know what that means. We talked about it. So what is your thoughts on, let's talk about messages. Do Apple have a monopoly on iMessages?
Trying to be objective and also trying to forget the things that I've already read about this. If I was the one making this decision, all I would say is, Apple, you need to let the user select what app their messages go to. So I guess surface level, I'd probably say yes. Because like if I want to tie my phone number to WhatsApp or to Signal or to Telegram or any of the other million other apps out there, that should be a choice. But iMessage being iMessage, I mean, all of these things, significantly more complicated than just making that kind of a judgment.
Do you believe that iMessage needs to be broken up, needs to be opened up?
I would have said yes before Apple had already announced their upcoming changes.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I don't think it matters.
Okay. I agree with you, Mike. I know this sounds crazy, but I totally agree with you. I had to think about it, be neutral. So here's the deal. So right now, what the complaint is that they use it a couple times, is that I am not able to send a video to my mom, not in the quality that would be deemed usable, or I cannot react to the message, to my mom's message, and blah, 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 blah. And of course, they use a moment where Tim Cook was teasingly, and I thought it was funny and appropriate, but people just took this way out of context, and that is, he says, well, buy her an iPhone. And Dodge decided to use that against him. It says, oh, now you're, okay. Here's the deal, folks. In iOS 18, and I have to thank EU for this, for their DMA. So if you've been following this podcast, EU has kind of gone through this process already. It's a little bit different than what we have to deal here in the States, where EU is forcing them to do a lot of different things. So here's my take. RCS is a new standard in messaging that Google, Microsoft, Apple have all decided to use that is open consortium. This is an open standard text that we decide that will kind of give equal footing between all the phones. Not total equal footing, but better than what they have now. And Apple had decided to go ahead and accept that. And that's coming up at iOS 18. Now, with that, and I'm going to be fair here, is that they're saying, yes, and that's great. We love that you're going to use RCS, but the problem is you're using the 2019 version of the standard. You're not wanting to take the newer version. If you decide to continue this and take the new standard as it go, that'll be one thing. But they don't feel like Apple is going to do that. So I don't know. If that's the case, then that's being dumb on Apple's part. If they go ahead and accept this RCS and keep updating and promise they would update it to the new standard, then I'm okay with it. But I think they're leery because obviously that open standard is now going to introduce reactions and special effects that we see in iMessage so that competes against them. So I can see Apple kind of leery about that. But to be fair, I'm with Mike. I think give us a decision. If we want to use WhatsApp, and a lot of people use WhatsApp, and that's all they want to use, if you can use that, I'm all for it. Have a choice of option what message that you want to use on your phone. But I don't believe they need to open up iMessage itself. Just make sure you have other options for people to use as a default.
Yeah, and if Apple doesn't want to mess with different standards, or if they want to keep the 2019 version, which especially in recent news, it seems like a very Apple sort of move. Like, yeah, we'll do it, but we're going to be obnoxious about it. Then let people just send their messages through something else.
They are being obnoxious, and we will talk about more about that. The other thing they talked about, I didn't realize that Apple bans any streaming game on the phone. So that's kind of a new thing if you're not following the game these days. Everything is streaming. So don't be surprised if Xbox and PlayStation are no longer a console. It's just going to be a streaming console. So in other words, you need the internet to play the games. And that's kind of a new thing. Apparently, part of the EU, once again, they're forcing them to say, we need you to allow these game streaming. There's no reason for you to ban this. And there's no rhyme or reason for that. So Apple kind of did a compromise and says, we will allow that. But it has to be for each game you want to stream. It's one app. They don't want this one app to contain a hub that can go through 20 different streaming games. And the reason behind this is they want to be able to control any terrible games that they add to it. They don't want that to happen. They want to make sure each one of those games is its own app and been approved by Apple. I can get behind that. As long as Apple allows it, I'm okay. I get it. People are not going to like having to download every app for every game, but I get it.
Yeah. I mean, I probably would have stronger feelings if games were an option, I suppose, because I get pop-ups on my computer about Microsoft's cloud gaming services and all that stuff, and I'm sure Microsoft would love to make one app and have all of their games on everybody's iPads and phones, but I mean, I can't even imagine how many other companies would also want this sort of thing. I don't know. It's weird that this is sort of kind of related. I would love to be able to set Dropbox, for example, as my cloud of choice for my phone. I wish I could just pick my cloud and not have to have different clouds depending on what device I'm messing with at the time.
Right.
That's what I would love.
Yes. So that would be their next subject, is closed ecosystem. Third-party apps not having the ability to be default. And that would be a good situation there. I think it's come to that point where you are going to have to let us accept I'm not saying that it's going to notch down privacy or anything like that. It's just meaning that I just want default stuff. I already pay for, say, Dropbox, like you said. I don't want to have to pay additional for iCloud. And I get Apple has his own services and making his own money. So that's the next thing comes up is Tap to Pay. So they want them to open up Tap to Pay. So if my bank wants to be I want to use Bank of America, which is my bank, and use that as a Tap to Pay instead of using Apple Pay through my Bank of America and charge Bank of America extra or McDonald's or whatever for that fee. And I just don't think that's fair at all. I think that's pretty greedy that they have a fee every time you're using my phone. I'm thinking, what difference does it make? I don't see where it will use them to for the fee. What's the fee for is what I'm asking.
I ask that a lot. Most times I see a fee in almost every aspect of my life. Like, but for what? I don't understand what this is doing. I don't get it. And real quick, I feel like when we're talking about the cloud thing in particular, Apple should make something that's as good as these other options.
Right? If you're going to compete,
same thing with payment processes,
make it good.
Like, yeah, instead of just forcing people to be stuck in what you decided we want, make it something that we want to use.
Right? I this part I don't get, but this is one of those things. And slowly but surely, they're allowing us to use, you know, which email you want to use, which browser you want to use. And that's getting there. However, yes. It's still, I guess it's still Apple-ish behind it. But anyway, the ecosystem being closed off, so the AirTags would be a good example. Is it fair to say that Tiles cannot have the same functionality as AirTags because it's closed off? I just don't see that being fair.
Yeah, and this is where, like, there is a point where there's a reason that you and I aren't setting policy and making laws, because this stuff is not simple. I can't tell you how many articles, I'm assuming you've read tons of articles about all of this stuff and all the ins and outs. It's complicated. There's a reason it's being talked about everywhere, because there's so many different facets to it. But because for me, it's easy to say, oh yeah, open it up. Finally, like each time they peel a layer off and make things a little bit more the way I want, I'm excited.
Yeah, but it's complicated.
It's complicated.
It is complicated. And I think to myself, if I had designed iPhone myself, you loved it, you used it. Don't like it, don't use it. And that's kind of the reason Apple's is using. It's like, you have other options. Why are you picking on us? Why are you breaking us apart in different pieces? This is what we design, and this is how things work so well together in the ecosystem. This is why people buy it, and they bought it for this reason. And they have a good point. I mean, for 12 years before somebody said something about, oh, they're now being unfair. And I'm thinking, where have you been for 12 years? Because that's why we love it. So I'm not, this is where it comes in the gray area, folks. I'm not trying to be Apple fanboy at all. But think it to yourself. You made this. Now people want to come up and break everything apart that you put your everything into it to make it more secure and more privacy. I think they need to have it both ways. So what I'm saying, if you want to use their ecosystem, feel free to. But yet, on the other side, it needs to be open if I want to mix match or put apps in what I want. And yes, I will know that I would break up the privacy and all that stuff. That would be up to me. So I don't know. Just how I feel about it.
I know it would be a fun change to see Apple license iOS like Google and Android. Let Samsung make their version of an iPhone, give them the software, have a great day. I know that would never happen, but that world would be very intriguing. If any company could make a phone and run iOS on it,
then Apple will tank.
Oh yeah, I'm sure that would break every model that they have.
it would not be as successful. There'll be no reason for them to come out with it.
They strip every one of their privacy concerns. Like, hey, a new in 2026, we're now collecting every bit of data on you because now we got to sell that to everybody else.
You know what's weird about this, Mike, is that let's take the Mac, for example. We don't have that case with the Mac. Mac is open. So in other words, there is the safe way and the private way, and that is making sure every app and everything you have is signed by Apple. So you can use apps or software outside of the App Store to use on your Mac. The developers just have to get a certification to say this has been certified by Apple, and you can install it. There is no, they do allow you to go outside the App Store, and you can install anything you want. And that's what puzzles me. Why doesn't the Mac get the same love as the iPhone?
I don't know. I don't know if it maybe is just, if it all boils down to how much of our private personal data, because for me, I have a Mac and an iPhone.
It's just bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know if maybe there's just more potential risk, where people usually keep more data on their phones than they would on their computer. Maybe it's just that.
But I don't care about the Mac anymore.
There should just be a pop-up that if I want to download something from some unverified source, make me acknowledge it, accept any risks that come along with it, and go about your business.
It's just funny how that's different. It's like,
yeah, I don't understand it.
Right? And so you don't have the same thing for the Mac, but people buy the Mac. Why? Because of the chip they have and the software they have. It's just so smooth, it's beautiful, it's fast, the battery lasts forever. That's the same thing could be said for an iPhone. So like you said, I don't see why that should be any difference. And I think that's what the EU and the DOJ and lots of countries are saying. You need to kind of do what you do on the Mac. Go ahead and do your certificates and whatever you do on the Mac. Let things be open. And you're going to sell Apple device because they are a reputable company when it comes to if you use their things, it's private, but yet give me the freedom to do what I want on that device. I think, so what I'm saying, I'm kind of on the fence. I see some points and some points I don't. So we'll see how this rolls out. I guarantee it's going to be years before we see anything done with this. And unfortunately, Department of Justice got a pretty weak leg to stand on. A lot of the information they have is outdated. That is not unusual for government to be so slow. This has been 5 years in the process, and things have changed over the 5 years. But I think, more than likely, I think the DMA is going to take more effect on anything else. And that's going to speak to the next item. Last month, we dogged Apple about how they're handling the DMA. We thought they were boneheaded, and what they're doing is just dragging their feet. And I don't like how they're handling things. And so, guess what? So, EU just announced they are going to look into the matter. As I told you, March 7th was the day they're going to say, I see that you're not really doing what we're telling you, so we're going to put you back in investigation. And sure enough, they officially put them on investigation again, and it could be very serious fine. And I just don't understand about Apple. When they were already just fined $2 billion for dragging their feet and being able to have a way of developers point to a alternative pay area. Apple's still dragging it, and so EU says, okay, keep dragging, we're gonna fine you $2 billion. And Apple says, okay, that's sad. I don't like it when they just shrug it off. And I heard something about that's nothing to them. That's like a day's worth of revenue for them for one day. I was like,
It makes me wonder if things don't change, how often the EU can impose this fine, if it's an annual or is it a one-time thing. I never saw anything about that specific detail on it, but it's obnoxious. It is obnoxious. I don't know. I think
right.
We got way into it last month, and now Apple takes this massive fine and just
shrug it off.
Cool.
Yeah, I think it's going to be crazy. A matter of fine. We're going to increase it, and I think you're right. I think it'd be more frequent, faster, and I think it'll finally get them to move where we need them. So this brings up the next subject I want to talk to you about. If Apple releases something to Tap to Pay or Apple Music or Apple TV, should we allow competition to come in place of that and be shared equally on Apple devices? And I'm going to mention this $2 billion fine was specific to Spotify. So what I'm saying, the reason this whole thing came up, $2 billion fine, is because Spotify is saying, I can't compete with Apple Music on their platform because they're charging us 30% of what we are charging our consumer for the same thing you could get with Apple Music. So we cannot compete equally because it's going to cost us more and we have to pass the cost more to our user base and they'll just end up using Apple Music because it's cheaper. Is that unfair?
My initial response, I want to say yes, but I did read an interesting point that was comparing this to like, should a Ford dealership have to sell Teslas?
Yes.
And like that kind of, like, but then I feel like at the same time, that's not the same thing.
Right. I was reading that. They're saying that Target products being into Walmart, we're forced to sell Target products. And it's like, this is not fair to me. You're making me sell other people's for something I had success with. I guess what it comes down to when I really thought about it, I think your 30% is excessive. What is that fee for? What are you gaining? I mean, Spotify is so huge. We're talking millions, if not tens or six figures or seven figures for that. A profit for Apple, if it's not billions, off of Spotify's success. I don't think that's right. I maybe what should be fair, and I think the DMA is trying to say the same thing, maybe you should lower your fee, maybe 10%. And because I get it, it's your store, it's your phone, but I don't know. I don't know what to think. I don't know how I should feel about this.
Yeah, it is a confusing one for me too, because I do use Spotify. And for me, it's just frustrating that I can't tell Siri to play something and have it actually do it. It never works. I used to be able to do that with Apple Music, but if I try to use Siri to play a song or a certain playlist, it doesn't work. Never has. And that to me is kind of mild. I mean, that's obnoxious because there's times I'm walking around doing stuff. I just want to say it to my headphone and have it do it. Meanwhile, Apple's taking 30% of this. Like, this is definitely not, I'm not okay with how things are right now. What like the right answer is, I mean, definitely above my pay grade, but 30% is just a lot.
It's excessive. I just think they need to compromise on the fee that where everybody would be happy. However, I think some people are thinking we shouldn't pay anything. I don't know if I agree with that. I think you need to pay something. I just don't think 30% is what you need to do because competition is great. I love Apple TV, but I like Netflix better. I mean, it's just the way it is. I just love the show about more on it. It may be the same reason for Spotify. Maybe has certain things that Apple Music doesn't, and I like Spotify better. I don't think that should be a reason why to keep your consumer being happy and not having that option there. However, I get it. I get it because it goes back to what I just said. I just created all this. Everybody loves it. Now everybody's beating on me. I want my choice on music and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, go to Android. And then they're like, no, I don't. I love your iPhone, but I want my... So it gets confusing.
Yeah.
I don't know
I think
how...
for me,
yeah.
Part of it, if it wasn't Apple, if it wasn't this massively successful, rich company, like if it was some new player on the market that's like having a hard time paying their bills and keeping the lights on, then sure. But like, I don't know. And maybe that's more my personal issue. Mm-hmm. I don't have a ton of sympathy for this $1 trillion company. Same through, everyone's picking on us.
I think Apple has always focused on two things, hardware and the iOS or the OS, whether that's the Mac with its OS, the iPod with its iPad OS, and now with the iPhone with its OS. I think that's where they should focus with. Not everything they try to add to it, I think it needs to be fair. It needs to be opened up. I think it needs to be a lot more open than they want to. I realize you're not going to get as much money, and I think they know it. They're just a little bit greedy when it comes to trying to find the niche and rob that from other people. So it says, you know, yeah, Tile has a great idea. Let's make our own. It's called AirTags. Spotify had a great idea. Let's make Apple Music. When you start to encroach on other areas, I think that's where you need to be a little bit more lenient and not be so excessive. That's just my two cents.
I agree. I definitely agree with that.
All right. With that is all out of the way, let's talk about some news that is to AppleViz and outside to our realm of we can relate. There's two news I like to talk about. Be My Eyes this week announced something kind of a big deal for those on our beta. I'm on beta now, not those with the Be My AI beta. This is a different type of beta. You're not going to see this for a while, but when it comes out, you will be taking advantage of this. So they're expanding the directory. There was a directory where you are able to say, I want to contact Microsoft, and you can either call them or you can do a kind of a video conference with somebody in the accessibility team. This is great. I love it. They're going to expand that just a little bit. It's more like a directory, really. It's not always about accessibility. There are going to be over 600 companies listed and added daily. So in other words, I have things like Adobe, Bank of America, LinkedIn, and those sort of companies that don't really have an accessibility team, but they're hard to find a number that actually talk to a person. So these are have a listing of all the companies you can call right within the Be My Eyes. I think that's a cool feature. There are times I cannot find a number for a particular company. This will be a useful thing. So it's coming your way. I have used the Microsoft quite a few times. I love it because I can actually talk to somebody and they can take over your computer and help you through your situation. So if your screen reader is being dumb and there's something that's not working with Microsoft, they will be able to help you out. I love that.
Yeah, I think this is great because sometimes they bury those phone numbers so deep on whatever the website is, it's a massive pain in the butt to find it.
Right. And so this will try to help you out to get those numbers that are hard to find. So this is coming. And a lot of people didn't realize this too. We have been in discussion with Be My Eyes that the PC version of the Be My Eyes is supposed to make land for beta testing this summer, folks. So if you love Be My Eyes on your iPhone, it's coming to Windows. Yes. So stay tuned for that. When that comes out, I definitely will be doing a podcast on that.
Speaking of Windows, I'm going to take us on a mild little tangent. They just released an update for Stardew Valley on PC. And the guys that work on the Stardew Access, which is a mod to make it accessible, are currently working on their second beta right now. And it's so far, it's pretty awesome. So for those of you who maybe used to play or thought about playing or didn't even know it was possible, it 100% is.
Tell me about it. I don't even know what you're talking about. Stardew?
Stardew Valley. It's like a farming simulator sort of game. It came out, 2015, I think is when it came out.
Oh.
And at this point, this new update popped out. There's all kinds of new stuff. And it seems to be just because the guy loves this game and the players love it. You just start with a little kind of rundown farm and you can go and buy coops and barns and end up with dozens of animals and planting crops and like going down to mines and fighting monsters or just all kinds of getting the socializing with other people in the town. It's just kind of like
it's farm sims.
Yeah, kind of. Right. But it's so much fun.
Oh, man.
It's real fun.
I used to play a lot of those. Roller Coaster Tycoons. They have Ski Resort Tycoon. Any of the tycoons, I absolutely love. Simulation. You create your own park, and it's always fun. But that Stardew. Okay.
Yep, I'll be looking forward to that. I think last week was when the update came out. And
nice.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's been a good one.
And one last bit of news, and we'll kind of close things up. We have been talking about this in the past. Now it has come to head. And yesterday there was an announcement by the folks of Voice Dream Reader. If you've been listening to our podcast in the past, we talked about how handing over to the new developers and what we thought of that. I asked John about this and Mike what they thought about the subscription for new people that have never used before, if it was something to be used. Well, guess what? Got bad news for you, and I don't take this for take this with a grain of salt, because it was announced and things could change because the backlash has been fierce. If you're a VoiceDream Reader user, we have purchased this in the past, correct? And so we're able to use this for a lifetime. So we don't have to worry about subscription and all that. And as I mentioned that before, however, that's about to change. According to the company, as of May 1st of 2024, everybody that purchases this at one time or another will now be placed into a subscription queue. So you'll be forced to use their subscription model. So my understanding for those that have bought this before will be able to buy this at a 20% discount for life. So instead of $80, it's going to be $60. So that is $60 a year subscription to use the VoiceDream Reader. Regardless, if you have paid for it in the past, you will be forced to do this now. Wow. I was totally blown away of their brashness.
That hurts.
Okay. So this has been fierce on Applevis. The discussion has gone on fire, as you would suspect. A lot of people saying, I purchased this, and they said it was for life. Why are they charging this now? I think it sucks. Here's the deal, folks, and this is what I think is going to go on. I think they have no choice. I think you can do all the fierce backlash all you want and make them bend. I think the problem is that, do we want them to go out of business, or do we want them to stay in business? I think that's what it comes down to. I think the new developers that took over are in it for the money, and I think they realize they aren't getting the money that they thought they would be getting rolling in, because there's so many of us that have already purchased it, and now they're like, man, we're really not getting much in. So I think in order for this company to survive, I think we're going to have to charge.
I mean, I have no clue what their actual numbers as far as new purchases goes, but if the majority of the people bought it years ago in the past and they're all still over there doing work, developing new features, new this, new that, they're not making money for the work that they're doing at the end of the day. It sucks, right, though. I hate it when stuff like this happens. It a little bit reminds me of the whole Flexi debacle and all of that.
Right.
What happened with that?
This is just, don't get me wrong, folks. I think this is low. I think the problem is this developer is not the developer that promised us that stuff. Now, some people are saying this new developer did promise that and they're taking their word for it. But I think in the end of the day, you need to think about this. I think, all right, then we're going to just go belly up. No more VoiceDream Reader, because you force our hands to do this. I don't like how they're doing this. I think the price is still excessive. I think, what is that, $60 a month. I think I heard that they are going to do $5.99. So that's $6 a month. So that's still $72 a year, whatever not. I still think $6 is too much. And some people say, I can hear you. You can email me to unleash what your thoughts on this, and I'll be curious. And a lot of people saying it's worth it. And it's not so much about is it worth it. Are you going to pay that? We pay so many subscriptions for everything. Is this one of those you are going to keep? You know, it's kind of reminds me of Ivory for Mastodon, and it was free for a bit, and then they went to subscription, and people were all bored. Says, well, they made all this work for it, and duh. And I'm hearing a lot of people starting to say, I can't afford all this subscription for everything. It's something I have to give, and that one of those is going to have to give up. So, I don't know, Mike.
It always is painful when something like this happens, but
right?
At the end of the day, at this point, the market's going to decide if people feel like it's worth it, and if it's not, then...
What makes this hard for them, if you're a Bookshare person, I know a lot of folks with Bookshare loves this, There is an alternative called Dolphin Easy Reader. I've said this many times. It's free. It does Bookshare. Is it as good as VoiceStream? Not really, but it's very good. I'm not saying it's perfect like VoiceStream. It offers a lot more things for your buck. There's some things you can't do with VoiceStream Reader, with the Dolphin Easy Reader. So this is just something for you to be aware, and that has come up. Your free days are up and numbered. I don't know how the backlash is going to result if they end up changing this and not doing it. I have a hard time seeing that they would do this. I think they either will lower the price, but I still think the subscription is going to be a done deal. We'll find out. I'll keep you posted.
Yikes.
I had to bring that up. I thought that was kind of big news.
Yeah.
So, closing up, my friend. So, Mike, you have anything to share with us for this month?
I do, actually. And I have a bone to pick with Letterboxd because of it.
Woo-hoo.
Actually, not Letterboxd. It's with the users. I went and saw the new Ghostbusters movie, Frozen Empire. Gil Kenan is the director of that one. Mm-hmm. I really liked it. I enjoyed it. We took all the kids to it. The trailers at the beginning were for movies that I loved. Everybody that listens to this knows I love horror movies. So I was a little bit nervous as we're leading into this because some of the kids were not liking it, those movie trailers. But we got into it, and it was genuinely fun to watch with everybody. I gave it 4 stars on Letterboxd. The average rating is 2.8, and I think that's harsh because I like
that. It is Ghostbusters. I mean, the problems I have with sequels or trying to overtake the original is that it's like they try too hard. I love Ghostbusters. Now, I've seen some of the sequel, and I thought they were horrible. So I'm hoping this one was better.
Full disclosure, I obviously saw like 1 and 2 when they first, back in the 80s. Mm-hmm. When I haven't seen any of the ones in between those and this, though.
Okay.
And I guess we'll throw this out there. My wife has never seen any of them before, and she watched this one and enjoyed it. Just as far as a standalone film, she liked it.
Oh, my gosh.
Kids loved it. We had a great time.
She's never seen any of them. I get for millennials or Gen Z that probably were too young when it first came out. I get that, so you're forgiven. But for older people like Mike and his brand-new wife, I never saw Ghostbusters.
It's just never seen
like
Indiana
saying
Jones.
I never saw Titanic.
Yeah, I just saw that for the first time like 2 months ago.
What?
Yeah, I never saw that one. So we're educating each other on movies. Indiana Jones was on the list one of these days. She's never seen a single one of those, except for The Crystal Skull, which is the only one that I told her she never should have seen.
Mm.
And that one was garbage, but that's my pick for the month.
Wow. Okay. I have not seen any movies or anything. I've been stuck with a lot of books and whatnot, been busy with other things, but I am glad to hear both Ghostbusters. I'll wait until it comes out.
Yep. I would confidently say it's at least worth seeing once.
Okay.
From that point, people
I like those.
Tell me I'm wrong. I would definitely recommend. I'd watch it again.
Okay. Now, see, that's my thumb rule, is I always get 3 out of 5. If it's worth watching once, but not again. But if it's worth watching twice, then it hits that 3.5 and up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, exactly. The way.
Okay.
And 5 is only for movies like I will watch this every year for the rest of my life.
for the rest of your life. And one of those is probably one of the dumbest movies ever, but Christmas Vacation is one of those I have to watch every single year. And I can see some people rolling their eyes like, oh, God, that's a terrible movie. No, it's not. It's great. It's hilarious. I have a good sense of humor, I guess. I don't know.
I agree. Great movie.
All right. Well, that's going to do for this month, Unleashed, for March 2024. And hope to have John back. And hopefully he didn't have to owe too much money to the IRS. We'll see. I know he had a little experience that he lost his iPhone for a couple hours, so we'll talk about that. But good news, he got it back. And hopefully we'll have a lot more news to talk about. Here along with me is, my name is Thomas Donva, also known as Nonimous, along with Mike Malarcy. We'll see you next month, everybody. Bye-bye.
Please feel free to contact the AppleViz Unleashed team with a feedback, tips, or questions at unleashed@appleviz.com. This AppleViz podcast has been brought to you by the community of AppleViz.com for the latest in resources and tips and tricks to get you the best experience from your Apple device. Visit www.appleviz.com.